daf is daf tezvav. We got to the bottom of Yud Dalet Amr Beis, the two dots al pi edim. The Mishnah had this some cryptic language here about how to pay for nizikin, and one of their criteria was that it has to be al pi edim. So what does it mean al pi edim, based on witnesses? The Gemara says prat lemode b'knas v'achakach bo edim shupata. There's a klal in general. There's a knas, is a penalty. The lumdus of paying a knas is that a person doesn't really have to, he doesn't owe the money, he didn't make any damage where he owes some compensation, but there's a penalty that the Bezdin, the Torah, created a knas that he has to pay. So the example we always give, a person has a parking ticket, he parks in the wrong spot, and he didn't damage anybody that he owes compensation, but there's a penalty that they add on to a person for doing something against the law. So when it comes to a knas, if the person himself admits to the knas before he gets caught, says, okay, I parked in the wrong spot, unlikely that the officers are going to give you a ticket saying, you know, last week I parked in the wrong spot, okay, here's a ticket. They won't write up for you for admitting for doing something wrong like that. So the same halacha applies as well. That person admits to doing a knas, and then after the fact, Edom said, oh, well, we saw you do that, the guy's off the hook if he admits doing something before the Edom come. So that's what has to, what?
Even today, after 3 minutes, they'll let you off the hook.
Is it after he got caught?
No, he came forward. He didn't get caught. He came forward and said that my shor killed an eved. That's a knas. You pay shloshim shel eved. That's considered a knas. If he admits to it, he's actually off the hook from paying. But let's say after that fact, Edom come, wait a second, we saw your shor kill the eved. He already gets off the hook by him admitting before him. So what it's saying here is only if I'll pay Edom, only if the Edom catch him, initially is he chayv to pay a knas, but if he admits first, then he's patur from paying the knas. That's what we learn from al pi edim. So the Gemara says, Hanichal Mandamar, this all makes sense if you hold mode b'knas v'acharkach bo edim patur, if you actually hold that way. But el Mandamar mode b'knas v'acharkach bo edim, you're still chayv. If you hold that I admit to saying that my shor killed an eved, and then afterwards edim say we had witnessed that happen, I'm still chayiv, so then there's no chiddush, there's no exclusion to be learned from this Mishnah. What case are we saying is not, are you pater from? So, ma'ik l'meimar, what's the Mishnah coming to teach us here with the words of al pi edim? So Gemara says we're really learning nothing from these words, al pi edim. It's really the seifa, it's dirchle. It's kind of leading into the seifa, which is teaching us something new. What do we learn from the seifa? B'nei chorin u'b'nei bris. That line of the Mishnah tells us that b'nei b'chorin l'mutei avadim, that only free people, only b'nei chorin, says Rashi, what it's referring to, top of the Amud, b'nei chorin sheyehu ha'edim b'nei chorin b'nei bris, that the edim who are testifying, we know you need edim, that's pashut, but who qualifies as an aid? It has to be an aid that's a b'nei chorin, that's free, not an eved, and also has to be b'nei bris l'mutei ovdei kochavim, that a goy cannot serve as a aid. So Gemara says, Tzricha, you need to teach us both dinims, that both an Eved and a Goy are excluded from being an Eid. Why? Di Ashmin an Eved, had I taught the word Eved, that an Eved's pasul, Mishum de'en lo yachas, an Eved has no yachas, he has no relationships. Rashi quotes the Gemara Nivamos, that they have no yichas at all. Aval, Nachri de'esh lo yichas, Nachri does have yichas. Remember we saw the Gemara is in Kedushin, that a Goy Yorish is Aviv Davar Torah. Davar Torah Yorish Davar Torah Nachri Yorish as Aviv. So there is Yichas by a Goy. So maybe since he has Yichas, maybe he can serve as an aid. Therefore, we say no. Tzricha to teach us that no, that's not the case. He's not allowed to serve as an aid. V'yashmina Nachri. If we taught that only a Nachri is possible to be an aid, Mishum Dilo Shaych B'Mitzvos. A Goy is not Shaych B'Mitzvos. Which is not entirely true. We know he has Shiva mitzvah b'nei noach, but he doesn't. He's not chayv as many mitzvos. Aval eved the shaych b'mitzvos aim alo, but avadim who chayv in more mitzvos. And Rashi points out, based on the gzeir shava la, that whatever a woman's chayv in, an eved's chayv in as well. So since he's more shaych in mitzvos, maybe you would say aim alo. Maybe he. Let's see. He is not, meaning he should be considered an aid. Tzricha, therefore, we teach us that even a eved is possible from being an aid.
It's the second time in Tadamas Vidaf that B'nai Bris is coming to exclude a guy. But I think there's a Gemara also that says B'nai Bris is being a mummer.
I thought you were referring to the Gemara in Kedushin about Chuma and Shluchim. B'nai Bris there, the Gemara also says Lafuke Avad Goyim. Saying B'nai Bris is coming to exclude mummer.
When by case of giving a hasra, it says ben Yisrael who ben Brisa.
I don't remember. Not sure.
Remember, so other places does exclude goyim.
Yeah, I think that's typical, but it could be that could be the Gemara Sanhedrin is an exception. I don't remember.
Is there a mitzvah to give edus?
I don't think there's a mitzvah to be an eder or give edus there. I imagine, I'm guessing there's a Rambam probably counts the concept of edus as a mitzvah.
Maybe that's what it's just talking about specifically, because he said the guy does have mitzvahs, but maybe he doesn't have that mitzvah particularly.
Yeah, but it can't be because avadim are only chayv in the mitzvahs that are women. Are women certainly are not allowed to be edim, so there's no mitzvah for them. So there wouldn't be a mitzvah for an ed either, or for an eved either. Okay. Gemara now says two dots. V'anoshim v'chlal hanezek, and the Mishnah said women are also included in damage as well. If they damage or if they get damaged, they also get a chiv to pay, or they're going to get paid back. So asks the Gemara, Menachem Mila, how do I know this to be true? Amar of Yehuda Amarav v'chein tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Amar Kran, the pasuk says ish o isha kiyasu mikol chatos, and the rest of the pasuk goes chatos adam limo ma b'ashem.
Yeah, okay.
Parsha Nasa. Yeah. So it comes to the Yisrael Mikol Chatos Adam Limol Mal Bashem Vashman Hanefeshahi. So the pasuk says that men and women are equally responsible for any averos. So Hishva, the Gemara says Hishva Kasev Isha Leish Lechalonshim Shabbatorah. The men and women are equated regarding all halachas. Well, all onshim. Now this Gemara indicates that Pashas is that what's the implication that there's an Isser, which we're saying Isser Nezek. Right. We started off at the beginning of the Masechta. Is there an Isser damage? Is there an Isser to damage somebody? Or just if you do, the consequence is paying. So the very fact that we're using this Raya of Onshin Shabbat Torah, that they're equal by Onshin, and we're proving it that they're Chayv and Nezek, indicates that Nezek itself is an Isser. That's the implication of the Gemara. But this is the first source of Ish V'Isha Shavet, that they're Chayv to pay, even women are Chayv to pay Nezek. The Bei Rabbi Elazar Tana, the pasuk says, "Veila mishpatim asher tasim lefneim," that these are the mishpatim that you're placing in front of them. So the Gemara says, "Hishva kasv ish, ish al ish," that women and men are equal. L'chol dinim shabbat Torah regarding all choshe mishpat, they're going to place, I guess, lefneim in front of them. There's no distinction men versus women in front of them. In front of all of Klal Yisrael, they're going to be equated by dinim. And the third pasuk is the Bei Chizkiv Rabbi Yosef Glili Tana Amar Kar. The pasuk says the Hamis Ish O Isha. But the pasuk here says if the shore kills a man or a woman, so then the shore gets stoned and the owner, the Baal Shor, has to pay kofar. So we see both from the Mazik's perspective, from the Nizak's perspective, women and men are equal regarding all of Choshe Mishpah. So Gemara says Tzrichi, you need three different psukim. Why? Di Ashma'inan Kamais. If I taught only the first source of Isha Isha Kiyasa Mechol Chatos Adam, I would have thought Hasam Hu Dechas Rachman Allah Keicha Detavi LeKapar. There, the Torah was Mekel on her. This way, she could have Kapar. She did an Avera, so she did an Avera. We want her to have Kapar, so they let her be involved to bring Karbonos as well. Aval Dinim, when it comes to the world of Choshe Mishpat, Ish Debar Masu Matan in Ishalo, men who are typically the ones involved in business transactions, so they're the ones who need to be included in dinim. Women who typically are not as involved in business dealings, so maybe they shouldn't have to. They shouldn't be involved at all, and no choshe mishpat should apply to them. So we have to teach them no elam mishpatim. Even mishpatim apply to women as well. V'yashmin and dinim. If we taught just the halachas of dinim and mishpatim and choshe mishpat, keicha dehavelei chiyusa. This way they can have some chiyusa. Because if not, everyone's going to just take advantage of her. If they could, you know, if you can't take her to court, or she can't take you to court, rather, so people will take advantage of the woman selling, steal all the clothing that she's selling, and she can't do anything about this. So in order to protect her from the few cases that women would have businesses, they have to protect her so they're involved in dinim. Aval kapara ish debar mitzvah in ish dela bar mitzvah lo. Maybe only men were chayiv in the world of mitzvos, or more mitzvos, so they need kapara. Women don't have as many responsibilities, so maybe they won't require as much kapara, so maybe we don't grant them kapara in a situation where they're sinning. Kamashmala, this, by the way, habim is a very strange habimina. I mean, there are chayv and mitzvahs. They're chayv and just less mitzvahs. Because they're chayv and less mitzvahs, we shouldn't give them the opportunity for kapara. So I'm not really sure what's behind that as much. I wonder if it must point something out down here. I don't see anything down here. It requires some hesber, why we think they wouldn't get any kapara. Okay, then the Gemara says, "V'yashmin and Hani Tarti." If you taught those two cases, "Ha'achamishum kapara," that women get to bring karbanos because they need kapara, and to be chas on them. V'hachamishim chiyusa, and they're involved in choshem mishpah because they also need a livelihood. Aval inyan ketala, if a shor were to kill a woman, maybe only ish de bar mitzvah l'shalem kofar. Only a man, I guess. No women are in the room here, but maybe only a man's death is something that's worthy of payment because they're chayvim mor mitzvah. So the death of a man requires a kofar. But isha lo, but a woman who's not chayv as many mitzvahs, so maybe if she gets killed by a shor, one would not have to pay for her death. Kamashma, no, even her death, even in that case of a shor killing a woman, the baal shor would have to pay kofar back to the family. And then the Gemara finally says, "V'yashmina nekofer." If we taught the case of kofer, that if a shor kills a woman, the baal hashor would have to pay kofer. Mishum de'ika ibn neshama, because there's a death. It's a very serious thing. So therefore, then we would have to pay kofer. Of a honey tarti, but the first two examples of dinam and kapara, de'lek ibn neshama, there's no loss of life. Emelo, maybe a woman shouldn't be included in the dinam. Tzricha to teach me that all these three areas, women are chayv in them. That's what it means. Hanoshim bechal hanezek. Okay. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, HaNizak VaMazik B'Tashumim. Both the Nizak and Mazik are going to be part of the payment of the damage. Now we understand where the Mazik pays because he caused damage. Where do you find that the Nizak, why would the Nizak have to be part of any damage? He was the one who was damaged. He didn't cause anything.
That last case of Isho,
yeah,
was going on Eved, that was going on the case of Kofar. What was that case?
That last case was going on Kofar, where if a shor killed a woman.
So it's funny because it says Ish Devar Mitzvah. The Ish Devar Mitzvah that we're talking about, that we're thinking was worthy of payment, is an Eved who's only Shaykh the Mitzvah. Are we talking about an Eved Kanani or an Eved?
No, then a regular person, I think, Ish. Uh-huh. There are a few cases. The two different cases of a shor. If a shor kills a Ish or Isha, you have to pay the value of that person, the deceased. If a shor kills an Eved as a separate case, you pay Shloshim Shekel. This is not talking about an Eved. Okay. Gemara now says, very famous, perhaps one of the most famous Gemaras in Baba Kama, Itmar Palga Nezga. Palga Nezga was a mean half of Nezek. Rav Papa Amar Mamona, Rav Huna Bredi Rishua Amar Knasa. Right, we know that then we already learned a few times that when there's a tam that gores a shor shenagach on the first three offenses, he only pays half of the damage. He damages $200, he only has to pay $100. That's the din. To Palga Nizka, the question is, what does that mean? Do we qualify, is that a mamon payment, he only pays half of it, or it's really a kanas, it's a penalty? What do you mean? So Gemara explains, Rapapa Mar Mamona, when the mazik pays $100, he pays half the amount, that's viewed as mamon, it's viewed as compensation. Kesavar, he holds stam shvarim la b'cheska shimer kaiman. A regular shore is not considered protected. You can't have a shore just roaming the fields, roaming the streets. They're dangerous. So a regular shor is not considered protected. You need to watch over. Now this guy, I own the shor, and I didn't watch him properly. I should really pay the full amount. I left my car on, and put it in drive, and let it just go on its own. I have to pay the full amount. That's a dangerous thing. But rachmana hu dechasala. But the Torah was makel on me as the baal hashor. They're makel on me to make me pay only half. Dakati lo iad tura. Now even though a unguarded shor is dangerous, it still hasn't gotten to the point where it's muad, where it's regular to gore, so they're chasami. So I should pay the full $200, they're makel to pay $100. But we still see it's mamon, it's compensation that I really owe, I deserve to pay the money. But the other direction is, Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua Mar Knasa. It's a penalty. I really don't have to pay anything. I really should start with zero. Why? Kesavar stam shvarim b'cheska shimer kaima. He thinks that a regular shor actually is considered not dangerous. And I can let my shor roam the streets without having to be concerned at all. I shouldn't have to pay. And if he goes off and damages, I shouldn't be responsible. So therefore, but still, b'din hu delo l'shalim klal, really shouldn't pay any amount. Rachmana hu tekansei, it's a Torah that penalized me, k'echa delinitre l'sura. They wanted me to protect my shor, tura means a shor, so they put a kanas on me that if my shor does damage, I will have to pay for it. That would be a way of ensuring that I protect the shor in the first place. So that's the question. If I'm, let's say, walking in the street and, I don't know, walking my cat, And people don't really walk cats, but cats aren't really dangerous. So I'm walking a cat, and a cat goes nuts and bites some other person. Will I be responsible to pay that damage? I'm not walking on a leash. It's just walking next to me. The cat's walking very nicely next to me. Cats don't really damage, don't bite people. If it does, so according to her, that's what Rav Yeshua says. It's Rav Huna says that's not considered a dangerous thing. I might have to pay a penalty because just as an additional knas. But there's no real penalty. There's no real payment. I didn't do anything wrong by letting my cat walk me in the street. Cats don't damage. So that's how he thinks shores are. Shvarim are not dangerous. But according to Rav Papa, he says, no, it's like walking a dog down the street without a leash. Dogs are dangerous. Certain types of dogs certainly are dangerous. And if I walk with a dog and it's no leash, then it causes damage. I should really pay the full amount. But they ended up, for the first offense, they were makel, I only pay half the amount. So that's the question. Is it mamon or is it knas? Now the nafkamin is, as we saw earlier, is if moda b'knas. If I'm moda, okay, I admit my dog, my shor, caused damage, so then if it's a knas, I would be pater, but if it's mamon, I would be chayv even after I admit it. If I admit it, I stole from you some money, I have to pay back for stealing. So if I admit that my animal caused you damage, I have to pay back if you assume it's mamon. So Gemara now brings our mission in. Tanan, the Mishnah says, ha-nizak v'amazik b'tashlumim. So both the Nizak and the Mazik are both involved in the payment. So the Gemara says, Bishlama l'man damar paga nizka, mamona. If you assume that when I pay half the damage, it's called mamon, hainu d'shayach nizak b'tashlumim, then it makes sense that the Nizak is involved in the payment. Even though he's not actually paying, he's still taking a loss. He really deserves the full $200. But he's only taking $100, so he's taking a loss. He's somewhat involved in the payment that he's giving a credit almost to the Mazik. But if you assume it's a penalty, where really me being the mazik, I owe nothing. And the nizak deserves nothing. But they just penalize me. So if he's not even taking his own, meaning he doesn't deserve, the nizak deserves no money at all in the first place, so how could we view him as being involved in paying some level of tashlumim? There's no involvement of the nizak here at all. So why are we saying that the nizak is involved in the tashlumim if you assume that palgan nizka is only kanasa? Everyone hear the question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good? Okay. Mara says, you're right. Lo nitzcha el p'chas nevela. P'chas nevela is when we say that the nizak, when the mazik, when my shor kills your shor, now the shor is dead. So we say that the nizak takes the nevela, and that nevela is part of the payment. So let's say I owe you $100. So your nevela now is worth $50. So I pay $50 out of pocket. Now you schlep your nevela home. Now this nevela, as it goes down in price, as it goes, the days go on, do you sell it to a goy to eat the nevela? Now it's worth $30. So now you're taking a $20 hit. I should really have to pay you back the $20 compensation for the depreciation of the nevela. The lach is I don't have to pay. That pchas, that depreciation, is taken on, that's a hit that goes to the nizak. So that's what it means. He does take a hit. He takes a hit on the value of the nevela is his loss. So that's what it means. He's also someone involved in the tashlumim.
We look at this as an Oynish, like the previous command we had a half million that was considered to be an Oynish, and a Zigan. Does that come into play here, Bechal?
Being Palganiska, whether it's an Oynish or not?
Right. In other words, that make an half million also got the Knas, or...
Yeah, well, I think, in general, Knas would be considered more of a punishment than Mammon. Mammon's not considered punishment. I have to compensate. Right. It's compensate. It's not a punishment. I think knas would be considered more punishment.
Right. Okay. We're not saying that. You're not giving that half million here.
We're not. So how would that be relevant here about saying it's a punishment?
Previous Gemara, we had a half million to say that maybe it would. The guy with Ishisha, we said that it could be that it was comparing it to Onshin.
Are we comparing Nezik to Onshin, right?
We're not saying that an Onish here, the guy be doing Hezek to another person.
I'm not sure how that's playing out here. I mean, it still could be an onus here.
If it was an onus, it could be a knas, that's all I'm saying.
Right, but even in the world of mammon, you could still say mammon's also an onus. You don't have to. Knas certainly has to be considered an onus, but if it's mammon, then yesh lachkor, is mammon considered an onus or just simply compensation as a consequence for something that has happened? So Gemara says, if it's really teaching me about Pchas Nevelo, that when we say that the Nizak is involved in the Tashlumim, that's regarding the depreciation of the Nevela, Pchas Nevelo Hatanile, Reisha. We already learned that in the Reisha, that Tashlumi Nezek, Milamed, Shebailim, Metaplim, Benevela. that the Baal, the Nizak that is, the Baal of the Nevela, he's the one who has to schlep the Nevela back to his house, and he takes the hit. So why is the Mishnah teaching us two times that Pchas Nevela, the depreciation of the Nevela, goes to the Nizak? So Gemara tells me, Chada b'tam, Chada b'muad. Two different scenarios. If the shor, tam, damage, killed his shor, that's a Nevela. That's one time when we say that the Nizak takes the Pchas Nevela. And let's say my shor is a Muad and kills his shor. So that's another scenario where the Nizak has to take the Pchas Nevela. So why do you have to teach the two scenarios of whether the shor was a Muad or whether the shor was a Tam? But Tricha, you need to teach both cases, the Iyashmin and Tam, if we only taught the case of a Tam, where my shor Tam killed your shor. Bishum dakati lo yoid. Since my shor wasn't a Muad yet, so he could take the loss. I shouldn't have to take the loss. The Nizak takes the loss. If I'm Muad, I would think if my shor is a Muad and he causes damage and kills your shor, I would think I should take the Pchas Nevela as the Mazik. It should be an additional penalty to me as the Baal HaShor Mazik. Emalo. So therefore, no, even by the shor Muad, the Nizak takes the hit for the Pchas Nevela. And if we talk the other way around, V'yashmina and Muad, Bishum Dekamishan Kule. If my shor Muad killed your shor, I pay you a full amount, a full compensation. So there, it's okay, we'll let the Nizak take the Pchas Nevela. It's an insignificant amount. He'll take the decrease. About Tam, Emelo, but Tam, where I only pay half the amount, is not fair. So maybe there, since I'm only paying half, maybe I should also take the hit for the Pchas Nevela. So therefore, we say Tzricha, that's why we're teaching us that even in the case of a short Tam, it's a Nizak that takes the Pchas Nevela. Okay, Gemara now says, Toshma. Ma bein tam lemuad. What's the difference between a tam and a muad? So we already saw a couple differences. The Gemara is going to lay it out for us now. She tam mishal mechati nezek migufo. As we saw, the tam pays only half the damage, and that damage only comes from the guf of the animal itself. Whatever worth the damage the animal is. Let's say the animal is worth less than the damage, then you only take whatever the guf is. You don't go out of pocket ever. So let's say you owe $100, but the shor is only worth $80. All you pay is the $80, and you're off the hook for the $20. But as opposed to Muad, Mishalim Nezek Shalim, you have to pay the full amount of damage that was done, and Min Haliyah, and you pay out of pocket also. You pay the full amount, and you have to figure out how to get that money. Now, in Misa, if it's true, then Lisei Nami Ha. If it's really true that what? That Nezek versus Knas, that really Chatzi Nezek is only Knas, we should teach this as well, that Mod b'knas pater, that a, but look at Rashi says it clearly, Rashi is listening nami ha, around 10 lines up, shechatzi nizko sheltam knas, ve'eno mishalim al piatma, a person won't pay if he admits on his own. However, muad, have a mamon, u mishalim al piatma, and a person would pay based on his own admission. So that distinction should have been delineated here as well. So Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily true. Because again, Gemara lays out. Okay, Gemara says again, Imi, so if it's true, listen, Namiha, teach the following distinction that Tam ain't a Mishalim al Piatmo, and a Muad would be Mishalim al Piatmo. So why did it leave it off the list? Must be that really, that Chati Nezek is actually Mamon, and a person would be Chayiv to pay even if he admits. Gemara says, no, it's Tan of a Shire. This price, it wasn't meant to be a thorough list. My Shire, the High Shire. What else was left off the list that this too was left off the list? Chati Kofer. Now, din of chatzi kofer, what's halacha? If a shor ha-muad, shor muad kills a person, the baal ha-shor has to pay the kofer. If a shor tam kills a person, then you don't have to pay anything. That was left off the list also. So we see, just like the din of kofer was left off the list, so too the din of mishal ma'piya asma was left off the list as well. And Gemara says now, imishim chatzi kofer, if you think chatzi kofer was left off the list, lav shirahu. That wasn't left off the list. You could say that our Mishnah was authored, this Brisa was authored by money, but Rabbi Yossi Aglili authored the Brisa, and he actually holds, he damar, tam mishalim chatzi kofer. He actually thinks that when a short tam kills someone, there is kofer that's being paid. So that wasn't left off the list, so it's still unclear from this Brisa. You can't make any proofs here. Okay. Everyone's still good? Mara says, Toshma, going on to Amid Beis now. Mara says, hey, miss, Shuri Esploni, the guy says, my shore killed a person, oh, shoro, shaploni, or my shor killed another shor, I raise a mishal na piatmo. So I have to pay. Because these two cases of my shor killing a person is that's kofer, that's not considered knas, that's considered mamum. And my shor killing your shor, that's also considered mamum. So when I admit, I need to pay the full amount. My la batam is not talking about tam, by case of a tam, and therefore we see that you do pay chatzi kofer like Rabbi Yossi? Or says no, lo b'mu'ed, it's talking about b'mu'ed. By mu'ed, aval tam, my hachanami deino mishalim al piatzmo. This is only referring to a mu'ed. If I say that by a shur mu'ed killed the person or killed the shur, that's when I have to pay. By a shur tam, then I wouldn't have to pay anything. So we see from here that actually chatzi nezek would be knas. So unclear how to read the braisa. Where I said, ihach, if that's the case, we're distinguishing between mu'ad and tam, so then ihachi, ad the tani seifa, that mean? No. Hamas shari es avdo, shaploni. The seifa says, if my shor kills an eved, which is a kanas, ein mashalim al piatmo. You definitely don't pay. If I admit that my shor killed an eved, I don't have to pay, because that's a modu b'kanas pater. So if we're making such a distinction, the Gemara says, liflog v'lisnei b'didei. Why not make a same distinction within the previous part, the resha, and say, b'med ha'mamur, and when is it true when I say, hey, Miss Sharius Ploni, then I'm pater, when is that true? Rather, I'm chayiv, that's only true b'mu'ad, avabatam eino mashan apiatma, but when my short tam kills somebody, I'm actually pater. So the fact that I didn't make that distinction tells us that even by a tam, I would be chayiv to pay apiatmo, and it's a din in mamon. So Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. I hope everyone's following. I know it's a little bit confusing here. Gemara says, no, kul b'mu'ad kamari. This entire braisa was only dealing with mu'ad. Tam wasn't on the radar at all. And therefore, you can't bring many rayas to a tam, whether the lach of tam mishalim al piatmo or not mishalim al piatmo. In other words, where the tam would be considered mamon or where the tam would be considered knash. There is no raya.
Rabbi Yosef
Glili is only regarding...
Tam.
The Chati Kofer. Chati Kofer. But not about Mishalim al Piatzmo.
So that's right. Separate.
Exactly. The Gemara now says, Toshma. Gemara brings another Raya here. Zeklal, this is the rule. Very important rule here. Kol HaMishalim Yosel Masha Hizik. Anybody who pays more than he actually damaged, Eina Mishalim al Piatzmo. You don't pay based on your own admission. So what's an example? It's a kefil. Person steals, he has to pay double the amount. That kefil is certainly a knas, because all I have to really have to do is return what I stole. The kefil is a knas. So anything that's above the actual damage, such as kefil or dal vehe, that by definition is telling me that it's a knas, if it's more than I actually have to compensate. So my lab, it does not seem to distinguish and say, ha pachos mi mashizik, but if it's less than mishalim, my love, hapachas me mashizik mishalim. But if it's less than what I damaged, namely chati nezek, then I would have to pay based on my own admission. Right? Again, the Gemara is saying here, when is it considered a knas? The rule, you know what the indicator is for it to be a knas? Whenever I pay above the damage, that's when it's a knas. And if I admit to that, I would be putter in that knas. Implying if it's something that's less than the amount, namely chati nezek, I would not be potter. I would be chayav to pay because that's considered mamon.
Why do we make an effort?
Exactly. So Gemara says no. Lo, not true. That's not the right dick. The dick is, if I pay more than the amount, then I'm potter for admitting. But ha kemash is it, if it's the actual amount, if I'm paying for what I actually damaged, if it's equal, then mishalim, then I would have to pay. There's no dick about less than the amount at all. Now it leaves it open, aval pachos, if it is in fact my... So what's halacha if it's less than the amount, namely chati nezek? Is that considered knas or mamun? Hachanami de lo mashalim. If it's less than the amount, in a chanami, I wouldn't pay either. I would be pater from admitting about chati nezek, because it's less than the amount. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so why not make the brayser clear? And just say, adatani zeklal, kol mashalim yosel mashizik, inu mashalim apiatmo. From the line that we say, anybody who pays above the damage costs is considered knas, and wouldn't have to pay on his own admission, listen, Zed, say a different case and say, kol zeklal, kol she'enu mashalim kamash izik. Say, anybody who doesn't pay the actual damage, whether it be more or whether it be less, that would be pater from maybe being moda. The fact that it doesn't teach that way, which would be mashma pachos mashma yoser. The fact that it doesn't teach that way tells me that pachos misha izik actually would be considered a mamon. Yeah, everyone's good with that? Okay. So Gemara says, ends up being a tiyufta. That's a tiyufta for Rav Papa. Rav Papa held it was a knas. Rav Papa held a knas? The other way around. Rav Huna held it was a knas. So the fact that this brisa, the fact that it didn't say that, tells me that really pachos, that really chatzin nezek is actually considered mamun. So to tiyufta, so we think we pass in mamon, but even though to tiyufta hilchasa palga nitzka kanasa, we pass in it's kanas. All right, what do you mean tiyufta vehilchasa? You rejected the position that was a kanas, and they're passing that it is a kanas. That's a stira. Where is it in? Yes. Time am I? What's the reasoning? Havia tiyufta mishum. What was the tiyufta for? Mishum de lo katani kimo shizik. Because it didn't teach kamo shizik. The brayshah should have said, if you pay what it's equal to, that's when it's mamon. But if it's above or it's below, then it would be a knas. The fact that it didn't teach it to me. Whereas it couldn't teach me that line. Why? Because it's not a real clear definition. Because there are an example, as we're about to see, you could have a case where it's less than the damage, and it's actually going to be considered mamon. Meaning, kemedika chati nezek tsuros. That concept of Troros we saw earlier in the Masechta, that if an animal is going and kicks a pebble up and causes damage, you only pay Chati Nezek, but that's actually Mamon. Hilchazo Gemirle, we have a certain Halacha Moshe Mesinai, I'm not clear how to read that exactly, but we'll assume it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that Troros is considered Mamonahu. So Mishum Hachi, because of that, it wasn't a categorical statement that all Pachas Mishuhizik, it's always going to be Knas, because sometimes it's Mamon, like the case of Troros. Look at Tani, they didn't want, they couldn't make a statement of Kol Shehizik, what was the line again? By Kol Shein Masham Kimash Shehizik, they couldn't teach such a broad statement whenever the damage is equal, because it would imply that all Pachas Mishizik, all Chati Nezeks would actually be Knas, and it's not true. Sometimes it's a Knas, and sometimes it's a Mamon. So it wasn't really a Tiyufta, and therefore we could pass in Palganiska as Knas.
Too broad of a statement.
Exactly. Gemara says, V'hashad Amis Palganiska Knaso. Now that we've established that Chati Nezek is considered, in fact, the Knasa penalty, Hai Kalba Dachal Imri, if a dog eats a sheep, or a Shunra, a cat, Dachal Tarnagola eats a chicken, Mishunahu, that's considered Mishuna, and we know Keren is considered Mishuna, Chati Nezek is Mishuna. If we assume Knas, the Chati Nezek is Knas, that's the assumption that the Shur La Bechazka Shmira, they're considered Bechazka Shmira, Shvarim or Bechazka Shmira. Then they don't damage. If they were to damage, that's considered out of the norm. That's considered Mishuna. And you only pay Chati Nezek. So now we're extending any other area where it's Mishuna, where they're doing something that's different, you'd pay Chati Nezek. We're broadening this idea of Chati Nezek. That was a shita of Rav Huna. Rav Huna held that Stam Shvarim, exactly, Stam Shvarim is Bechezka Shimur. And therefore, the payment would only be because of a Mishuna. You did something different out of the ordinary. So now we're extending to other cases. Wherever an animal does something out of the ordinary, does something mishuna, you'd also pay Chati Nezek. So Gemara says, furthermore, v'lo magbina and bebavo, you also wouldn't collect the knas and bavo. There's a special din based on the Gemara's in Baba Kama and elsewhere. We'll see this later on in Perka Chovel, that de'ein danin dine knasas el besmuchim u'bebavo lo smuchim. You need a person who has smicha. Smicha, only they are qualified to give out knasos. In Bavel, there are no smuchen in Bavel. They couldn't have smuchen in Bavel. So therefore, you can't collect knasos in Bavel. v'hani mili v'ravriva. It's only true if the dog eats a large sheep or the cat eats a large chicken. Aval bezutra, if it's a small sheep or it's a small chicken, which would be orcheu, which would be normal, then that would be considered mamon, and they would collect mamon in Bavel. V'tafes, and going back to the previous case, in a case where it was mashuna, and to knas to pay, and we don't pay knasos in Bavel, we can't enforce it. However, if the nizak is toughest, if he collects it on his own, lo machfina mina, we don't take it out of his hands, we let it just stay. There's a toast on the bottom here which says only if he's toughest, the actual mazik. If he grabs the dog or he grabs the cat, that's one. But he can't grab the guys, go to the guy's house and grab all the other stuff. Exactly.
We see such a thing go by Kimlay, toughest lo machfina mina, and by other things.
Like Kimlay and Rabbanay?
Yeah, if he owes him money, that was wiped out because of Kimlay. He's toughest. He could keep it, everything.
So that's the, I thought it was Machlokas. Depending on whether or not the greater punishment subsumes and includes within it the lower punishment. I mean, if we say like the Ramban in the beginning of Makos Davez, when a person gets Misa and Mamon, the Misa is including the Mamon, then the guy's not right. The Misa already took care of the Mamon.
Right.
But if you assume that no, it's just a Ptur in the Mamon, then there might be room to say.
I think it's Rashi.
Yeah, I don't think it's Gemara, right? Depends on that Chakir there. Okay, So the Gemara says then, furthermore, V'i Amar Kavid Lizimna Dazlin Al Arad Yisrael. Let's say he says, listen, I can't. The guy ate my cat. The guy ate my chicken. I need these things. So let's go to Eretz Yisrael. We'll go to the Smuchim and have it dealt with over there. So he requests, let's set a court date. So then we give him a court date. We're Kavinale. We do him that. We set a court date for him. V'lo Azul. And if the Mazik's not willing to go, Mishamtinale, we put him in excommunication. U ben kach, either way, Mishamtinale Ad, the Mesalik Hezeka. Now, regardless of that point of going to Eretz Yisrael, we also put him in Chayrim if he doesn't get rid of this Hezek. Having a wild dog and a wild cat in your property, that would be an Isser of the following. Of Midir Binasan, the Sanne Rabbi Nasan Omer, Minayin Shalo Yegadil Adam Kelev Rab Esloch Beso. How do you know that a person can't raise an evil dog? Sounds like only an evil dog, but a good dog you would be allowed to, if such a thing exists. Val Yamid Sulam Rao Besoch Beso. And a person can't have a bad ladder in his house, because if a person accidentally uses it, it's going to, of course, cause great damage. How do you know you have to remove it? You can't place any blood in your house. Anything dangerous in your house cannot be placed there. So we put him in Chayim until he gets rid of these wild animals. Okay. Should we go weiter here? What do you think? Or it's a good stopping point?
Considering that a person's been feeling off every 15 seconds.
Okay, so we'll stop here.
Okay. But by Kofar, everybody agrees that Kofar is Kanas? Or is that not...